City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access on Wednesday, March 27th. It's a Bismarck edition of City Current, so that means Jason Timonic is here, Assistant City Administrator for the City of Bismarck.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Pretty good. Welcome to pothole season, right?
You bet.
All right. Snow is melting, and the potholes are emerging.
They're emerging.
I know Public Works is probably busy.
They're already out doing what they can.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
It's the time of the year it is,
That's right. Just be mindful. Well, I must say, that meeting last night was a marathon.
I think we set a new high water mark. We were well over 5 hours last night.
Yeah, you were. So we noticed that.
Yeah.
We have a couple staff people at every meeting, so mm-hmm. it definitely went on longer. You did not hit our record.
Okay.
5.5 hours, I believe, is our record with Burley County Commission meeting a few years back. But it was a long one.
Certainly the longest meeting for many of us in the room. We were trying to talk about other meetings that had quite the length.
Sure.
And this one stands out. No
but
question.
Everyone was very well behaved at it.
Yeah, it was a good meeting.
We had a lot of stuff
to cover.
There was. So. And I should mention too that when we do have these meetings, especially of this length, as we record them, they go out live. Mm-hmm. As well. They go out live on our Radio Access 102.5. They go out live on our cable channel, our government access channels. And we're recording them, obviously, at the mm-hmm. same time. So they will replay. They replay right away in their regular time slots on our government access channels. But getting them on video on demand is a little bit of a challenge mm-hmm. with that much content.
Right.
So just wanted to kind of mention that if people are looking for meetings the day after a meeting may happen the night before, it will take us a little while to get that in there. Usually by noon the next day, we like to say those meetings are in our system at dakotamediaaccess.org. You'll find them in our, in the government access section, and you can go in there and watch. But if a meeting is over, let's say 2.5 hours or so, it might take us a little longer because there's a little tweaking that has to happen mm-hmm. along the way. So be mm-hmm. patient. It'll get in there.
It will be there.
The one last night might take us most of the day. It might be tomorrow by the time mm-hmm. we get it in there because, again, 5 hours of content.
Sure.
Getting that all transcoded. So I just wanted to mention that while we had an opportunity. Consent agenda last night. You had a mm-hmm. couple of call for public hearings, first consideration last night on a few items.
Right.
A couple of liquor licenses.
Yes.
The first one was a Eat Thai Cafe.
Eat Thai Cafe. So that's down on Riverwood Drive. Mm-hmm. It's on your way to Riverwood Golf Course. She is looking for a beer and wine license. So we'll have a public hearing in 2 weeks on that. The other liquor license public hearing that we'll have will be for the new convenience store, bodega, whatever you want to call it, at the airport. Mm-hmm. This is the area just past the TSA checkpoint. So there will be a new operator coming in, a company that has locations in other train stations and other airports nationwide. So looking for some improvements, some new opportunities.
Oh, redesign. We talked about that at an earlier meeting.
Yep. Right. And they will have a full bar license available for anybody looking to get on the plane.
Okay.
So those changes will happen in May and June of this coming year.
Okay. So in 2 weeks, second consideration of those two liquor licenses will come back to the Bismarck City Commission.
Yep. They'll hold the public hearings. And if everything goes well, then that would be the end of the process for the liquor license.
Also, a call for public hearing on another item, which is off-highway vehicles, allowing them on city streets within the city of Bismarck.
Right.
That's a big issue. And you guys have been grappling with this language for a while.
We have. And this idea even dates back to our previous city attorney, Charlie Whitman. I know there were a lot of conversations over the years about allowing all-terrain vehicles or off-highway vehicles on city streets. Mm-hmm. The proposed ordinance would allow them in certain conditions and on certain roadways. We're not talking about all ATVs here. We're talking about specific ones that have Things that you would expect to see on a motorized vehicle on a city street: turn signals, brake lights, obviously mirrors, safety harnesses, roll cages, okay. things like that. So it's not intended for every single type of mm-hmm. off-highway vehicle. So anybody that is interested in this ordinance, either supporting or speaking against, I would encourage them to get their hands on the draft ordinance, which is on our website.
Okay.
You can find that in the Agenda Center, which is the part of the website where all of the city agendas are posted. City Commission would be the one that they would be looking for there. Or if it's easier for them, they can just call our office mm-hmm. too, and we'd be happy to email them a copy of the draft sure. ordinance as well.
What does the current ordinance allow, Jason? Do you know that?
Primarily nothing in this nothing. Category, right? These would be new additions to the ordinance that would allow certain types of off-highway vehicles on city streets. Right now, there's almost a complete prohibition against any of the vehicles of that type.
So this would potentially add this kind of traffic, if you will, to some of the city streets. And
right.
again, the call for public hearing, this will happen in 2 weeks.
April 9th.
From April 9th mm-hmm. meeting. There'll be a public hearing on this. So I think if people are concerned about this, just to educate yourself, mm-hmm. again, bismarcknd.gov.
You got it.
You can go to the website, find the agenda, or call your office and find it, mm-hmm. or find the ordinance as proposed.
Right. And the local phone number would be 355-1300. That
okay.
would be the number for city administration. So if they have any questions, they can call us. We can certainly put them in touch with both the police department and the city attorney's office, because they work collectively on mm-hmm. this draft. So it would be a good one for anyone on either side of the position to become
so.
Aware of what's
That's
going on.
It's a big change.
It is a change
yeah.
that could potentially impact a lot of things in the neighborhoods
right.
and how people drive on roadways and things like that. So
okay. All right. Moving into the regular agenda, and again, this was a long meeting, so we're just hitting kind of the highlights. Mm-hmm. There were certainly some things that we're not going to be talking about today, but one of the biggest agenda discussions last night was an infill project
right.
that is being proposed for 3rd Street and Avenue D, mm-hmm. very close to the downtown area. It's a vacant lot. As you told me earlier, it was formerly a home on the lot that
right.
burned down, must have been a long time ago, but it's been sitting mm-hmm. vacant for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this item going through your Planning and Zoning Commission,
mm-hmm.
and it came out of the commission with
It was a split vote. I think it was 6-4
okay.
in favor,
okay.
So it had the majority vote.
Mm-hmm.
And really what we're talking about here is it's an undersized lot. It's a smaller lot, like many of the lots in the neighborhood. And the owner of the property, Mr. Jake Axman, has a plan to develop this as a 4-unit apartment building,
mm-hmm.
or a row house, essentially,
yeah.
is what they are. Each unit will have its own entrance. There's off-street parking available. Certainly, the neighborhood it's part of the older development of Bismarck. We've got narrow streets. We've got small lots. We've got a variety of land uses, everything from single-family, twin homes, apartments in the area. So contextually, I mean, this isn't out of place for the neighborhood, meaning there are similar uses. But some of the neighbors had concerns. Primarily parking is a big concern with narrow streets and lots of driveways and limited spaces for some of these cars to park.
And the reason that it was on the agenda was he was requesting a zoning change.
It was a zoning change,
to
correct.
Go to a PUD, a planned unit development. So
right.
it did require the commission to take action. Beyond planning and
right.
zoning.
The initial zoning, the underlying zoning district that is here, it allows multifamily, so it's not too far of a stretch. However, as Kim Lee, the planning manager, described last night, with the setbacks being a corner lot, you take two setbacks being on the front yard, so we'll say the Avenue D side, 25 feet is the front yard setback there. On the 3rd Street side, there's another 25-foot front yard setback. By the time you're moving all the setbacks around, there's very little to build on.
And there's some off-street parking requirements that wouldn't be met with the existing zoning.
Right.
I think it was Commissioner Guy who made the point that this project could potentially move forward with existing zoning, but they would have to go for a variance on all of these points.
Right.
So it seemed logical just to get a zoning change to a PUD, mm-hmm. which would take that one little piece of property out of the current zoning and allow this use.
Right. And a PUD, for lack of better description, is really a custom tailor-made zoning district just for that specific land use. Mm-hmm. So you can write in any and all of the elements. Some of the PUDs throughout town even touch on building materials. Obviously, parking is part of that. The land use is part of that. Mm-hmm. Setbacks, of course. There are some where there are height regulations. Mm-hmm. So in cases where the underlying zoning district doesn't achieve all of, doesn't have enough flexibility to allow for some of these things to occur, a PUD, a planned unit development, is an option.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good discussion. I think that it was interesting, too, because there were a lot of the neighborhood, some residents from the neighborhood were testifying, and it was all very respectful. Mm-hmm. I thought that was they all had really good points.
Yep.
But it really boiled down to the off-street parking, or mm-hmm. on-street parking, excuse me, the bulk of all that and adding this four units mm-hmm. into there would be adding into that congestion.
Right.
So that was the bulk of their mm-hmm. comments were directed towards that congestion issue, which it makes
it's understandable.
Makes sense,
you
yes.
know, when this part of Bismarck developed, we didn't have some of the larger size vehicles that we see today. Obviously, snow removal is a concern. It's a seasonal concern, but that's mm-hmm. that's not a new concern either. So,
do these units have a driveway pad? Do I understand?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I believe all the parking is on the west side of the building between the proposed building and the single family home
okay.
to the west. What this home will, or what this building will do, is it will line up with the setbacks of the two adjacent properties. So
okay.
it will look and feel as though it's a fit for the neighborhood, but certainly understanding from the neighbor's perspective, this is something new. This will create some new challenges mm-hmm. in the neighborhood. In the end, the commission did vote to support the project. So for this phase, at least for the zoning change request, it is now over.
Now so, it'll have to go through a site plan?
Plan review. So they'll develop the site, making sure all the drainage is appropriate, the easements are in the right places, and it conforms with the rules that it's been given. And we would anticipate that before the end of the year, we probably see some construction here.
Mm-hmm. So. And this all ties in with your infill plan that
yep.
was finalized, I think, about a year ago?
Right.
Or
yeah.
so? Which the plan identified vacant properties within the city
mm-hmm.
that would be ripe for development.
Right.
So this kind of fits into that plan.
It does. And infill for the city of Bismarck is an important aspect because it really utilizes existing infrastructure. As was mentioned at the hearing last night, we're not talking about brand new streets. We're not talking about new water and sewer. We're really not talking about much as far as the city goes. Sure, mm-hmm. there will be another property to be mindful of to service emergency services and things like this, but utilizing existing resources and infrastructure is a benefit for
right.
us as an organization.
Yeah, and that's the whole purpose of the infill.
Right.
Are supporting that type mm-hmm. of activity. I think it was interesting, again, the discussion. I know a couple of commissioners did vote against it, and not because they're against infill the mm-hmm. projects. They support that. But this one seemed to have some nuances that they weren't quite comfortable with.
Right.
And there was some discussion at the table about refining that infill plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure how you feel about it, but it seems like every infill project that'll probably come in front of the commission is going to have these unique qualities
yes.
that are going to require this kind mm-hmm. of consideration.
Right. And I think it's fair to mention that we're talking about a neighborhood that developed, you know, long before zoning code was ever in place. So many of these things happen very organically, and we're left with some remnant pieces
yeah.
that are less than normal.
Yeah.
So it's good to have some flexibility, but to the point of looking at the infill and redevelopment plan again, I think that's a fair statement, because as the planners often do, a lot of their material is fluid. It's a living document. It's not intended to be etched in stone and be
yeah,
the last
that's true.
The last word. So now that there have been a couple of projects that have come through and testing the waters, so to speak, I think they'll take a look and see what's working and what's not.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. So this project moves forward to site plan phase.
Site plan review. So now it switches over from the public review to the internal staff review.
Okay.
So.
All right. We'll watch it.
Watch for construction.
Yeah, there we go. Last night, the Burlington Northern Friends of the Rail Bridge, you had a study mm-hmm. proposed by NDSU that came forward, and you talked about that. In fact, it was at your last commission meeting.
It
and
was,
we did not meet after the last commission meeting, so it was a little more detail at a prior meeting, but you're pretty involved in this project.
I am part of the steering committee. Yes, there was a request from Friends of the Rail Bridge to have a member of the City of Bismarck be a part of the steering committee. And really what the study is looking at, it's assuming that the rail bridge stays in place, and it's looking at repurposing it from an existing train facility to a bicycle and pedestrian facility. The question is, can this bridge be integrated with the existing trail networks on the Bismarck side of the river and on the Morton County side of the river?
Can it accommodate a new rail bridge adjacent to
it? Yes, because the idea would be that both bridges would remain or be parallel to one another across the river. The study that we have in front of us right now is at about the 75% draft level, and the commission last night took a position to really say, you know, we as Bismarck don't have a whole lot to play into this particular study because the trail network is Bismarck Parks and Recreations district
area. But they're also a partner in the
They group. Are part of the stakeholder group as well, so... Yeah. I would expect that we might hear something from Parks and Rec in regard to this study. So we're at the draft phase now. The two landscape architecture professors from NDSU that are conducting the study have provided a 75% draft, and then there will be a final draft closer to end of June, early July.
What do you anticipate will happen from that? Where will it go from there?
You know, I think there's a couple other things that are happening out there right now. Of course, the Section 106 meetings and then the meetings with the Coast Guard, because they take first position on this issue since it's navigable waters of the United States. Those discussions and studies and research need to take place as well. So this study is a good placeholder to know that if the bridge remains, it could be reutilized as a pedestrian and bike facility. Okay. I don't know what kind of impact that will have on the other discussions that are going on with the Corps and some of the other groups that are involved.
It'll be real interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah, there
are
definitely...
It'd be great if they can do it, but boy, there's a big price tag. It's a heavy lift.
The numbers are, just to repurpose it as a bike and ped facility, the numbers are in the millions of dollars.
Sure.
We're not talking about anything other than that.
But what a
feature
for the community.
There are a lot of people that recognize this as a piece of iconography, both for Bismarck and Mandan.
And the connectivity between Bismarck and Mandan, just to have that pedestrian bike flow would be symbolic, if nothing else.
The opportunity is great, but the challenge is even greater, I believe.
Yeah, so. Well, it's great that we have people in our community that are willing to volunteer their time.
This is a grassroots group.
It
Absolutely.
Really is. Yep. Yeah, they must be commended for that. And we have a program that we recorded with them that we're working on still to where they're going to be providing.
Share the message. And,
providing factual messages about what's going on. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see where that goes. Strategic plan call for projects. Again, something you're very, very involved with. This is under your jurisdiction, so to speak.
It is. This is tremendous. So we've been working on the strategic plan since towards the end of last year. And of course, we've talked about this, reaching out to the public, having survey responses, having a lot of voices help guide this
focus
project.
Focus groups,
town hall meetings, street fair booth. I mean, we've heard from thousands of people.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful feedback. What we've learned is that there are kind of five themes that have emerged from the public feedback and input that we've received. And we're calling those the strategic focus areas. So those are projects and goals and objectives that we can strive to attain or help facilitate getting there. And all in purpose of making Bismarck even better than it is. I mean, we're talking about the next 3 to 5 years and significant projects, game changers, things like that. This idea of a call for projects is the city's way to really open up that dialogue and invite the community to bring concepts and projects forward that support these five strategic focus areas. One of the strategic focus areas that it's pretty easy to identify is being labeled as signature spaces, landmark places. They don't necessarily have to be tremendously grand projects, but they can even be small-scale pop-up projects that are very impactful and help serve as a catalyst for implementing the plan, bringing the community together, and making this a better place.
And I would assume some of these projects were hinted at or discussed at some of these public meetings.
Absolutely.
But your call for projects don't have to be things that you've already talked about. It could be something completely new, So you're looking for input from the entire community on this.
Everyone and anyone that has an idea. Neighborhoods, students,
organizations, education,
service clubs, you name it. There really are no limits as to who can bring projects together. So what we did last night is we asked the commission to support this concept of a call for projects. And through the work of the strategic plan project team, which myself and Commissioner Oban, Commissioner Zinker are part of, along with 10 other city staff people, we've developed this this call. And really what we're looking at is any feedback, input, ideas, and concepts that can move this project forward. The strategic plan isn't done. We won't be done with this until the end of June. But the general consent of everyone on the project team is that this is so good, we don't want to wait. If there are opportunities for the city to help support projects, we need to know that ahead of the budget season in case there is a need for cash. Now, I don't want to suggest that there's, you know, millions of dollars laying around where we're just going to start paying for projects. But the city has a very dynamic role in facilitating these conversations, working with strategy partners, working with other groups and organizations in the community. At least we can help guide that conversation and see what materializes from this. So
plus the time of year. I mean, it's a good opportunity right now to be planning something that
absolutely
might need some construction outside in the summer.
So. Right. So we're going to open up the call in early April and have it open through May with the opportunity to vet those projects in early June. And ultimately, viable projects will be brought to the city commission where those proposing those ideas will have an opportunity to pitch it to the city commissioners. The commission can then decide, you know, do we work with some of our partners, like, for example, Parks and Rec or Bismarck Public Schools? Are there things that we can collaborate on together? Or do we help facilitate these projects and really give them legs and some support to get them off the ground and get them moving?
And you're looking, as I understood from the conversation, everything from small neighborhood projects to
Big grand ideas.
Yep. Okay.
One of the themes that has emerged from the survey responses and all the feedback is riverfront development. That's a pretty big analogous term when you think about what that means. So if there's a group out there that has an idea of how to enhance the riverfront, we'd love to hear it.
And we've already got some momentum with that, with the Heritage River.
I was just going to mention the Heritage River Landing would be an example of how that space that the city owns could come into realization. There's an image on the screen now. Thank you, Ben. The construction is going on for this as we speak. I don't want to give anyone the idea that we're only talking about riverfront development.
And it's just an example.
It is fair to say that the Parks and Rec District owns a good chunk of the land and has utilized that to the best of its abilities to what we know today. But this is just one idea to help people start to get the wheels turning.
And again, this momentum with riverfront development is significant. And that old Meriwether's location for this building to be going up, they're under construction now, and I would assume that we'll see most of that done this summer.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So that's fantastic. But back to the strategic plan, call for projects. You're looking for anything and everything to come forward. You'd want the more creative, the better. This could be really fun. There could be really some great additions to the community that come out of this.
Right. And the commission talked about doing this more than just once. I can see this being either a couple times a year or annually for sure. Some of the other things that we want to touch on, it's not just signature spaces. You know, some of the other themes are 21st century business hub. So for young entrepreneurs, for the business types that are out there, what can the city do to help facilitate those opportunities? Connecting neighborhoods, connecting intergenerational people. We've got tremendous scope of people in this community. How do we connect the older members of our community with the younger members of our community?
Did you do that with me?
I wasn't implying anything there. But all of these things is to help build the sense of community, the sense of place. We have a very enduring sense of community pride in Bismarck that has come out loud and clear through the survey responses. So if there's people with ideas of how to bolster that, we want to hear about it.
Okay. So, this is pretty exciting. So you'll be getting the word out from...
We will work with as many folks as we can, your group, others in the community, to try and get this in front of as many eyes as possible. I know Commissioner Oban will be having conversations with people in the school district to raise this up. Maybe it's an opportunity for students to get engaged. You know, we'd love to hear what they think and how do you make this place better for students? We hear it all the time. Oh, I'm 17. There's nothing to do here. I was 17 here once, too. I know... I know how that can be. So
that was a long time ago, though.
Years, decades, almost. So this is going to be a great opportunity for Bismarck to really start to drive these conversations, mm-hmm. and not necessarily implement everything, but we can certainly help facilitate and work with partners throughout the community to get some of these projects moving forward.
Well, we'll look forward to working with you to help get the word out.
Appreciate
what
that.
What we can do here. Next on the agenda, again, a long discussion, really important. There was public input at the beginning mm-hmm. of the agenda during your public input session on this, and this is minimum
habitability
standards. So it
right.
has to do with housing codes.
Right.
And that was very good discussion and mm-hmm. Really raised some awareness about some of the problems in the community.
It did. And it's fair to say that Commissioner Guy has really driven this conversation through her work with some of the service groups in the community, some of the social service providers. She has been made aware that there are housing stock, there are homes in this community that are substandard. Mm-hmm. And through her conversations with the commissioners last night, it was very apparent that some of the tenants in these places have a fear of speaking up or going to the landlord and asking for assistance.
Well, a lot of them are vulnerable.
True.
Maybe people with disabilities mm-hmm. or people with criminal records mm-hmm. who are afraid to speak out as right. in a fear of retribution.
Right. They may not have the means to move to another location.
Sure.
Unfortunately, there are homes in this community that aren't as well kept as they should be. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Guy and Commissioner Oban both talked about experiences where they've been made aware of homes with holes in the floor and things where there's rodents in the home.
Well, and during the initial public input at the beginning of your agenda, Sister Kathleen Atkinson spoke mm-hmm. about that as well.
Right.
She had some scenarios that she's been dealing with that feed into this mm-hmm. and certainly demonstrate a need for change.
Right, through her program with Ministry on the Margins. But she wasn't the only one to speak. There were others
certainly.
That were raising concerns from an apartment manager or owner's perspective that some of these things they felt could be used perhaps against the property owner or used to leverage a certain situation. So it's good to have dialogue. It's good to have conversation back and forth because mm-hmm. we need to see all sides mm-hmm. of this before we start implementing new law and new changes.
And the commission called on Building Inspector Brady Blaskowski
yep.
To address this. Aren't these concerns being addressed through our existing building ordinances? Mm-hmm. And Brady explained that their work is primarily with new construction.
That's right.
So when it comes to a violation of an existing property or a complaint that would come from a person who's renting a existing facility, there's not a lot of avenues for enforcement right. here or change.
Yeah, and it's fair to say that once the building permits have been closed, once the certificate of occupancy is issued, the city really has no jurisdiction in that property ever again.
Yeah.
Unless there's construction
criminal,
and remodel or
yeah.
things like that. Yeah, but
right.
from a building code and building code enforcement perspective, mm-hmm. our job is done once the mm-hmm. first tenant or first homeowner moves into that property.
So the commission made a motion to bring it back. They didn't take action either way last night
right.
other than when it continued the discussion.
Right. And really what was on the table last night was the draft ordinance itself. It wasn't intended to call for a hearing. It wasn't intended to try and approve the rules.
Mm-hmm.
It was simply to start the conversation right. with the other commissioners, because this is a project that Commissioner Guy has been working on primarily independently from the others.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the apartment association, they want again to include them in this discussion, which they have
most
been.
Definitely. Yeah, they have been a big part of this.
And I thought their testimony was interesting. Rocky Gordon, who's been a property owner, is a property owner in the city of Bismarck, mm-hmm. a individual
property manager for
yeah,
probably thousands of
well
units.
Known.
Mm-hmm.
His comment, I believe he said something to the effect of, we are mildly concerned mm-hmm. about this. We're not necessarily in opposition, mild opposition.
Right.
So I think
mm-hmm.
they were very willing to talk and maybe just tweak this thing a little bit so it's a little
right.
more palatable for everybody.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make the property owners necessarily vulnerable to a lot of undue
overregulation
complaints.
And right. And this isn't intended to, you know, be the overarching arm of government that's looking at every single apartment unit in town. This is really intended to address just those specific situations where they are substandard housing.
Yeah.
So
Right.
Commissioners.
And particularly with that vulnerable population,
right.
I think is what the conversation really focused on.
And I think, you know, reading into the dialogue at the table, there's always a concern about, do we have existing staff to help with this enforcement? Are we creating additional workloads for our staff? And, you know, I would say
that's a big unknown.
It is unknown at this time.
Yeah.
You know, we would have to certainly address those needs as they come forward. I don't want to speculate that this is going to be a tremendous amount of work. And I certainly don't want to speculate that this won't cause any additional work either. We know that there are situations that could be addressed if this were to move forward.
Right. Well, we'll keep our eyes on that one and talk about it again. Next on your agenda was the Historic Preservation Commission appointments. That's been a while coming.
Mm-hmm.
We are now a certified local government.
That's right.
So we have the commission set up. We have six individuals who were appointed last night, along with Mayor Bakken as the representative for the city.
Mm-hmm. And so these groups will help with historic preservation projects, potentially infill projects, remodel projects. There's opportunities for grants. The group that was selected, the six members of the community, have diverse backgrounds. We have an architect. We have architectural historians.
Yeah, it was an impressive list
of
people.
We have a lawyer on there. There's a very dynamic group of people with specialized backgrounds. And clearly these are people that have an interest in history and preserving the history of and enhancing the history of Bismarck. So,
but without, and this isn't just about that, without the designation for the city, certain grants and federal monies are not available.
Yes, this opens up opportunities for a lot of property owners and for the community.
Yeah,
so,
and something that was started by previous community development director, Carl Hawkinstead, started this process before he left and retired,
Yeah, so it's nice to see the pieces falling into place. And we can certainly keep an eye on this group as they start to have meetings and looking at projects and things as they go forward.
Yeah, so that's kind of exciting. That's good to get that going. We don't have a huge amount of time, but I want to give a shameless plug for our work here and our annual event coming up next week.
Looking forward to it.
Coming up pretty fast. April 4th through the 6th at the Bell Mayhews Auditorium. We are so happy to announce what's going on and the partners that we have accumulated along the way after these past 7 years. This will be the 8th annual. We are now officially a three-day event. And so we start out Thursday night at the Bell with a free event, actually free, open to the public to attend. And there will be the documentary, The Great Alone, playing. And that is coming to us through our partner, Bismarck State College, and their big Arts Quest celebration that goes on for like a month and a half. And it's a great part of the campus up there. But they're bringing it down to the Bell to bring in this documentary. It's a documentary about the Iditarod champion Lance Mackey, and he was a four-time champion with the Iditarod, and he's been retired for the last couple of years and traveling around with this documentary, and I guess it's fabulous. I've talked to a couple of people who have seen it in its entirety and have said it's a very moving documentary.
Great.
And this is free and open to the public on Thursday, April 4th. So it'll start at 7 p.m. that night. So come and enjoy that. Friday night is April 5th, and that's our typical Friday
night. That's the big night.
The big night of night of shorts, as we call it. And the lineup has been confirmed, and we have the Oscar, the Oscar winner for a live-action short film going to be played, and we have one of the nominated films in that same category will be on the lineup that night. But we also include local films, local filmmakers. And we had a couple that were submitted that are absolutely fantastic and just so entertaining. We have seven filmmakers who will join us on the stage after their films are screened. Couple of them doubling up, the film will be screened and they'll come in. Couple are traveling to the community from outside. One of them is A.M. Lucas, who is a Fargo native. And she lived in Fargo as a small child and then moved to the East Coast and has been making films in New York for the last few years. And she made this film that is so charming and heartwarming. It's called One Cambodian Family for My Pleasure. And it is the story of her mother, her family, who were immigrants in Fargo in 1981, and her mother was very active with Lutheran Social Services in bringing immigrant families to the community. And it's just a heartwarming film about their family and their experience in Fargo. Very well done. And so that's one of the local films that are coming in. We have some Matt Fern, and who's a local filmmaker mm-hmm. here with the Creative Talent, is his company, and Dan Belinsky, who is the drama professor of drama out at University of Mary, who teamed up and did a program or a film, excuse me, To Be or Not. And it is just almost a mockumentary short film that is, you got to see it. It's just so fun. And we're so happy to bring these local films along with these, you know, Oscar winners mm-hmm. and just put them on the stage in this beautiful Bell Mayhus Auditorium yes. that we turn into the movie theater. And tickets are very reasonable. You know, people can go down to the box office at the Event Center and $17 in advance mm-hmm. for the Friday night of shorts. But then we've also added a Saturday matinee, which we started last year. So we're going to have more films, mm-hmm. more short films. And that lineup is impressive. We've got some wonderful 4 short films, including 2 really nice local films that are coming in. And then the part of the matinee is the Dash competition. Last Friday night, we kicked off the Dash Film Competition, Dakota Film Dash. We have 13 teams right now in the Bismarck Mandan community out there making films. So these 13 films will be shown during the matinee. After we watch the other films, we're going to have the Dash competition and award ceremony.
That's great.
And those teams have a lot of energy. It'll, mm-hmm. we were blown away last year about the quality.
Good.
And the collaboration that we see in the community of all these different pockets of filmmakers making film, it's really mm-hmm. impressive. You know, these are skill sets. And we talk about workforce development.
Mm-hmm.
These are skill sets that are needed for many jobs.
Sure.
And a lot of these people work, like I said, in professional capacity of production, quality, mm-hmm. advertising agencies, what have you in the community. But this gives them a little bit of a creative outlet, that non-commercial, having fun mm-hmm. doing that film with their team. And
showing off their skills.
Yeah, and again, collaborating with others in the community mm-hmm. who share that passion. So yeah. The tickets for the matinee are $7 in advance. Oh, my gosh, you spend more of that every day at Starbucks yep. or whatever. And yeah, so again, the Event Center has taken over our ticket sales this mm-hmm. year. So go down to the box office so you don't have to pay the online fees. But you can also go to etix.com to get tickets. So
I think this is tremendous. It provides another peek at some of the culture that we have in this community. It's a tremendous opportunity for everybody, both to consume and to help produce, and to know that there are some wonderfully talented people in this community.
And film brings community together. I mm-hmm. mean, we've seen such a great collaboration, as I've already mentioned, and partnerships. You know, Bismarck State College came to us last year and said, could we do something? And we said, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Of course.
So now we expanded to Thursday night. DNN Cinematics, mm-hmm. another production company, said, could we help you do like this film competition? Absolutely. So that was all born. But the other partnership that I do want to mention is with Cinema 100.
Sure.
Cinema 100 Film Society has been around for a long time mm-hmm. in this community. And they are a great group, a great nonprofit organization that brings a annual fall and spring mm-hmm. film series to the community up at the Grand Theaters. And they do a wonderful job. And they've been our partner since the beginning of mm-hmm. the film festival with financial support. But this year they said, you know, we want to give a grant to a local filmmaker. We want to help a local filmmaker make a film, to work on a film project. So they started a competitive grant process, and they're doing this in honor of Arnie Lauren, who is who passed away, I believe, in 2005, but was mm-hmm. a professor, English professor, I believe.
I took a class, Film as Literature was the class that he taught at BSC.
And passionate guy and had a lot to do with the Cinema 100, keeping that
strong advocate. Absolutely.
Yeah, keeping that group going for years. So this is in honor of Arnie Lauren, and that will be presented that award, that grant, will be awarded on our Friday night of short. So we're honored that they chose the film festival to use that as a platform to make that award. So
kudos to you.
There's a lot going on.
Kudos to you and the entire group. I think, I don't know how many times you use the word partnerships, but it's very clear that this is a collaborative effort from a lot of different groups. But it speaks to the impact that this can bring to the community as well, because it's very widespread. And having been to almost every single one of the Dakota Film Fests over the years, I only missed one. The diverse array of films that people will see, you'll be laughing until you cry, and then you'll be crying because they're so heartfelt in some of these cases. So
it's a fun night.
If anybody hasn't been there in the past, I would encourage them to go to all of it. Oh. Take it all in. It's a tremendous opportunity to see things you'll never see anywhere else.
Easy easy to attend. You can come in your sweats. Mm-hmm. We don't care.
The lights are off. It's dark.
The lights are off. It's dark.
It's comfortable.
Ticket prices are, we keep them deliberately
low. Very attainable.
And, you know, to the city's credit, too, through their granting with Dakota West Arts Council, Dakota West Arts Council has always given us funding for this, and we really appreciate that because they recognize that this is a cultural event
It's a team effort.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Brings together.
Good for you. Good for us.
Thank you.
Good for everybody
here. We'll see you next Friday for sure.
Absolutely.
And Saturday, I hope. So thank you, Jason.
My pleasure.
For joining us. And you'll be back in a couple weeks and we'll meet again about City Current.
You bet.
All right.
Thanks, Mary.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit bismarcknd.gov or call 701-355-1300. If you have suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access, Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.